Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You or Jayla?
Yeah.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is our weekly call-in show, Who's There? People call in 619, who them? Leave questions, comments, concerns, fun goss, fun everything. And then we answer some of the calls, not all the calls. There are so many calls.
Oh, I was waiting for you to play something because that's what I thought you were doing. I thought you were queuing something.
No, I wasn't going to play something. The only thing I wanted to say to open the show was that Rachel Ray ate worms as a kid.
What? That sounds like she sells seashells almost. Rachel Ray ate worms as a kid.
According to Page Six, Rachel Ray is a champion at eating worms.
Do I care?
It's three paragraphs long. I can read them really quickly. Talking to Page Six about her favorite snacks, the chef casually mentioned that she was inspired to slurp up a few bugs as a child by the 1973 children's book, How to Eat Fried Worms. Quote, I was a little kid when the book came out. I would eat fried worms for $1, Ray said at the Accessories Council Excellence Awards at Cipriani 42nd Street.
Wait.
I went the distance, and I ate 10. Ew. Next paragraph, final sentence. The topic came up while Ray explained to us that she launched a line of accessories and handbags in March. That's it. That's the story.
Handbags? Wait, Rachel Ray invented handbags. Rachel Ray has handbags. She also got enough handbag clout that she got invited to the handbag awards. At Cipriani downtown, where Fergie hangs out?
No, but this is at Cipriani 42nd Street.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's very different Cipriani's. Extremely different Cipriani's.
Sorry. She took the subway all the way there.
We are going to Cipriani Wall Street.
I'll never forget it.
She's designing handbags for Moxie Made.
Does that mean?
I don't know, but she is one of three women on the Moxie Made team. It's Rachel Ray, it's Cara Jamet, and Alia Ahmed Yahia. Rachel Ray is, quote, the Moxie behind Moxie Made, Cara Jamet is the stylist visionary, and Alia Ahmed Yahia is the brand commerce plus content chief. The love that's gone into this site and the purpose behind it is exactly where retail should be today. As always, Rachel Ray is ahead of the game. This was a quote by Zana Roberts Rossi, e-correspondent and Marie Claire editor at large. I don't know how you have any questions, Lindsay. It's Moxie Made. That's it.
I'm so confused. Like, I am.
Rachel Ray sells handbags. That's it. What else do you want to know?
Honestly, what can I even ask? That what's the follow-up that I can even ask? Now I'm just looking at these handbags and I'm just like, I don't understand how Rachel Ray is involved with these handbags.
Rachel Ray has always wanted to sell handbags ever since she was a little girl eating worms, and now she has the chance, so she's doing it.
Honestly, I feel like at Rachel Ray's height, she could have gotten everyone else to eat worms. Like, she could have introduced like worms by Rachel Ray.
She could definitely get your dog to eat worms. Humans, I feel like that's a different story, but you can definitely get your dog to eat worms.
If she, like, kind of positioned it in a specific way, I feel like she could. When she was, like, you know, peak Rachel Ray.
The funniest thing about this story is that she was at this event to talk about her handbags and then was like, I really don't have much to say about my handbags, honestly.
But
like,
I eat worms.
I don't know why I'm here, but I ate worms. Rachel Ray, who them? Them.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, she kind of is still them-y in this weird way, name recognition-wise.
Yeah, she still has her show. Her show is still on.
Wait, no, it's not.
Her show is still on.
Yeah, so then, like, she's on TV. That's kind of a big deal. How does she still have a show?
I don't know.
What does she do on the show? Cook still?
Yeah, she cooks and then she interviews people.
Wasn't The Chew canceled and Rachel Ray lives on?
Yeah, people like Rachel Ray. One quick thing before we move on about Rachel Ray.
I've got two bottoms and no top. That is no fun at any party.
So. Oh my God, I remember that. Well, Rachel Ray, gay rights, happy pride. Am I right?
Rachel Ray, gay rights. Let's start with comments.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time, first time. I'm calling about Fleabag and Bobby's confusion as to why it's called Fleabag and if her name is Fleabag. I've been down many Phoebe Waller-Bridge holes on YouTube and the general Google universe at large. And so I feel pretty confident in saying that in a couple interviews, she mentioned that Fleabag was a childhood family nickname that she had. And so when she was putting this play together that eventually became the show, she wanted to call it Fleabag. So Fleabag is not her actual name, but we can think about it as a nickname for the character who is, you know, as Lindsay pointed out, doesn't have a name otherwise. Hope it helps. And I'm going to throw it back and say good form, Bella Thorne.
No offense to the caller, but that's, and or anyone who called Fleabag, but like that wasn't your confusion. It wasn't like, oh, she's called Fleabag, why? It's like, not why thematically she called through Fleabag, but like, why doesn't she have a name? And the answer is like, because it's the show.
I'm small-minded. It's hard for me to understand, you know, this particular piece of art. I just wish she had, or I wish her name were like Leslie.
No, your problem was that this is a show that everybody's talking about and you didn't know that the girl's name was actually Fleabag. So you're just like, that's your surprise.
Apparently her name isn't actually Fleabag. She just doesn't have a name.
No, it's Fleabag.
But if her, it's based on her childhood nickname, no one ever actually calls her Fleabag. It's just like she's a character who doesn't have a name.
Yeah, so now we're like having this round thing again. Now we're having the same conversation, which proves that the call didn't do anything.
I'm just never going to watch Fleabag next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just wanted to share a quick story. One time I was at my local Joann's in Orlando, Florida, and David Bromstad was in front of me. And all the old ladies there were so starstruck. But after he went and brought his stuff to the car, he came all the way back to bring the car back, which I just think really says a lot about a person. Okay, crunch, crunch. Bye.
Wow. We never, like, get calls that, like, confirm people's humanity. We only get calls that, like, deny people's, like, good humanity. This was, like, a real twist. I expected it was going to be, like, and then he farted and, like, pooped and, like, then he, like, yelled and called an old lady a bitch. But, like, no.
He brought a cart back to Joann's Fabric in Florida.
He was polite. Although, if I was, like, recognized somewhere, I would be so nice after that to everyone and everything.
Can I buy your groceries?
Like, literally, I would just be like,
can I take these to your car?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I would just be very polite because I knew the eyes were on me.
All eyes on me.
All eyes on me.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. First time, medium time. Regarding dating somebody that looks like your dad, I have to agree with Bobby. You absolutely know. I, unfortunately, dated someone who looked like my dad, and I realized it pretty quickly on, shared a picture with my roommate just to make sure I was not crazy, and she told me he didn't look like him. After 2 days, it was way too weird for me, and I broke it off, but I texted my mom a picture of him, no context, no caption whatsoever, just to get a read. And she texted me back asking, where did I find this picture of my dad? Because she's never seen it before. So that was really weird. It happened to the best of us. Maybe it's a good enough relationship for Ava, though, where it's not that weird for her. God bless. I couldn't do it. Crunch, crunch. ScarJo, yummy pop.
I imagine Reese saying, why'd you send me this picture of your dad to Ava?
And it's like, oh, no, that's my boyfriend.
She would, and she would do it, like, kind of rudely. Because she would know that it's the boyfriend.
Hun, I've enough boyfriends of your father.
She knows that that sort of text from Reese Witherspoon would nip it in the bud.
Or maybe Reese would be like into it. And that's what would be the weirdest of it all.
I don't want to think about Reese being into it. Oh, what if she is?
Okay.
Okay, next call. This is the last comment.
Hi, Who Weekly. Medium time. Just calling with an unofficial one-person petition to make me and Grace a new official sign-off on the show. So just really hoping it catches on. So yeah, I guess I'll just start it now. Okay. Love you guys. Me and Grace.
Like, she knows it's a bad idea as she's doing it.
She could tell it's the worst idea.
She's like, okay, let's do this thing. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Me and Grace. What? In her voice, it's like you can hear it.
Here we go. I'm getting ready. One second. 1, 2, 3. Here it comes. Hold on to your butts. Pause. Me and Grace. throws phone across the room.
I mean, you sound like Bobby when he said me and Grease, which is like, if you say me and Grease, you have to do so with hesitancy in your voice, because you're as the words are coming out of your mouth, you're not quite sure what you're saying or what it means. The only reason I heard it was because we were three in the back seat.
You're just like so pained. You're like, why did I do that?
Me and Grease. I couldn't tell. I mean, it came from the depths. It came from the River Styx.
You know what call I will never play? The ones where people ask us to explain Crunch Crunch or Good Form Bella Thorne. It's like, I can't do this. Also, Crunch Crunch is literally in the theme song. Crunch Crunch is not hard.
Well, also, Good Form Bella Thorne goes so far back that I couldn't even like tell you what it is. And also, it's lost all the context of the original meaning, which was like, yeah. Bella Thorne was doing exercise or something, and I said she had good form. And you were like, that's funny.
It was good form. And then we talked to someone who knows form.
And she had bad form.
And she had bad form. So she.
So all we got to say is, if you're so concerned about our catchphrases, listen to the fucking catalog, man.
Honestly,
what can we tell
you? If you don't know what catchphrase to use, just like mutter something close to me and Grease, because that's the best.
Me and Grease. Me and Grease. Me and Grease.
Lindsay, when you're in Grease?
No. Yeah, when I'm in Grease, will I be wearing a bra?
Lindsay, when you're in Grease, are you wearing bras?
That is the word.
Lindsay, when you're in Grease, tell me about bras.
That's the word.
Speaking of Grease. Speaking of me and Grease, Lindsay, let's talk about Third Love.
Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. They have more sizes than other brands, offering 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. And you can find your fit with a Third Love online Fit Finder, try it on at home, so you can have no more awkward fitting room experiences.
Remember that scene in Sex and the City where the woman comes into the fitting room and she's like, you need a something, whatever. But then it's whenever Miranda's mom is dead.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. What an awkward situation that could have been avoided by using Third Love.
Where Miranda's mom is dead. Oh, it's so sad.
Cheer up by going to take their Fit Finder quiz, which over 12 million women have taken to date. It's actually fun. It takes less than a minute to complete. It also just like helps you figure out the bra you're wearing by asking you what other bras you're wearing and whether they work or not, which is a really good way to decide like whether you should be buying a bra that's different or the same. Usually you're wearing the wrong size. They also have 100% fit guarantee, and they have comfort and quality. Hands down, the most comfortable bra you'll ever own.
Is it the most comfortable bra you own?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. First of all, I own like, you know, 1 to 2 bras, as most women can attest. But yeah, it's definitely the most comfortable. Third Love knows there's a perfect fit for everyone. So right now they're offering listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/who right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/who.
Hey, first time, long time. Look, I work in health policy, so I get a lot of emails from the FDA. And I just got one that you need to know about. The subject line is FDA alerts consumers about cosmetic products recalled due to presence of asbestos. And scroll down a little bit. Which one is it? It's Claire's JoJo Siwa makeup set. It has a skew and says because it tested positive for asbestos. Look, I don't know what this is about, but JoJo Siwa is giving kids cancer. Anyway, good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
JoJo Siwa is indirectly giving children cancer, I guess.
So JoJo Siwa's makeup line at Claire's has asbestos in it. What I've learned about searching about asbestos, oh my God, this is going to be difficult for me, in makeup is that it's in a lot of makeup for children and makeup in general. Bad, 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 bad.
Yeah. And JoJo Siwa, really quickly, who? Asbestos, them.
Asbestos is definitely a them. So I went to the FDA, to like the actual FDA, to figure out the complaint. And basically, Claire's like half apologized.
They're mostly like, well, it happens.
We stand by our makeup, but like, because you're worried we pulled it. Like, just to like make you feel better. They said, yeah. Claire's stands by the safety of this item and any other Claire's cosmetic items, as such a small trace amounts are considered acceptable under European and Canadian cosmetic regulations. In addition, last year, Claire's moved to talc-free cosmetic manufacturing to prevent any concerns about talc contamination. So talc is like often what asbestos is found alongside or with or in. I'm not going to do the research on that, but it's related. But the safety
They're both naturally occurring minerals.
In nature, but also when you put them in makeup. And talc is like...
But like when you try to get talc, sometimes you might get a little asbestos in there because they're like found in the same place.
So this is JoJo Siwa's makeup set, the SKU. I can read the SKU. Just kidding. It's funny because then you go... I was looking up asbestos, which is fun, at Claire's. And literally... asbestos.com/makeup, it's like mostly about how Claire's has a problem with asbestos in their makeup, meaning they must have very lax regulations on like what they sell, and it toes the line of legality in terms of like the FDA is like, this is bad, and then as Claire's like, well, technically it's legal in Canada. You know.
Yeah,
so it's not, and they list, I mean, it's the following brands of Claire's makeup contains asbestos. Mint glitter makeup set, pink glitter palette, bedazzled rainbow heart, professional eye makeup kit. Like, it's almost every single piece of makeup. So.
Jesus, like, could, like, potentially, theoretically give you mesothelioma. You know, like, what a nightmare.
Right. So it's not, I'm not lay off JoJo, but I'm just saying. Well, maybe I am. I'm just saying that if JoJo made this makeup with Claire's, like, is a partnership, there's the high likelihood that JoJo's makeup was also going to have asbestos in it.
Mm-hmm. Right, because of these lax guidelines.
Yeah. Do you also think of asbestos as, like, that pink stuff in your attic? I just, like, in my mind.
That's how I visualize it. It is very fibrous.
Yeah, it's like the cotton candy in our attic that my dad was like, don't touch, because it was exposed.
But asbestos is used as a flame retardant, right?
I don't. It's used for like a lot. It's kind of used for a lot of things.
Insulates, but then it's used less and less because it gives you cancer and mesothelioma.
Yeah, well, I don't. Yeah, nobody wants that.
This FDA safety alert that you found, this like official FDA safety alert, this hideous graphic that like obviously comes from the government because it's like this template that's probably been used for the last like 12 years.
Yeah.
But it's red. FDA safety alert. Don't use this Claire's cosmetic. And then it's these photos of this rainbow packaging, like childlike rainbow bright colors, JoJo Siwa, like hideous font. It almost looks like if you took the FDA safety alert out, it would just look like bullying, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it would just look like online bullying. Someone who hates Claire's. Someone who hates JoJo would just be like, do not use this Claire's cosmetic. Like, Jeffree Star released this, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Tati safety alert. Don't use this Claire cosmetic.
Honestly, like, YouTubers snitching on each other's bad and, like, not healthy makeup is definitely, like, a thing. Did you see? This is literally the same week. This other YouTuber named Jaclyn Hill, who released a lipstick line, was getting slammed because her lipstick had hair in it.
But was it really hair?
So JoJo has not responded to the asbestos thing, by the way. Like, she does not. JoJo does not respond. Jaclyn, by the way, said... She said, my team and I are working very hard on finding out exactly what is causing the, quote, grittiness and bumpy texture on some of my lipsticks. I am so sorry to see some of you dissatisfied with my product. I will make it right for you and learn from this mistake. That's a promise. But before that, she said, I plan on breaking my silence and addressing the issues regarding my lipsticks very soon. I've been working very hard to gather all the facts and details so I can give you accurate answers. I love I plan on breaking my silence soon. And then... She said, if any of you are receiving lipsticks like this, she retweets a lipstick that's literally hairy, please know that this is not hair. My factory.
It's asbestos.
It's asbestos. It's actually asbestos. It's found naturally in talc. And JoJo Siwa's makeup has it too. No, she says my factory used brand new white gloves to do quality control, and they shed. So the gloves made to do quality control actually reduce the quality.
I don't know
shedding.
That I believe that.
Me neither.
No, it's like it's like way inside the lipstick. Not to be all conspiracy theory, but like, no, that's not a good enough
it's
explanation.
It's in the
for me,
mixture, maybe. Like that it in the like in the liquid.
It's like in the lipstick. It's like inside the stick. It's not on the surface of the stick. It's inside the stick. It's one of those things where I feel like deep down all the makeup is the same.
Yeah,
you know,
that's yeah, and maybe JoJo's variances. Is different because you worked with Claire, and maybe like, but I feel like
and if Claire's like dumping asbestos into everything,
right.
Claire's like,
no,
yeah, I can get you a new palette.
We'll roll out the line next week. Claire is like a big guy with a cigar.
Claire is Lunch Lady Doris's pivot. Like Lunch Lady Doris left Springfield and was like, she was like, I got to change my name. So she changed to Claire, and then she started selling makeup with asbestos to children.
I think of Claire as like a guy named like Joey Claire. Like his last name is Claire. We don't know that. And he's like, yeah, my name is like Joey Claire. I've been doing this makeup thing since like 1920. My family.
It's like Godfather.
We do makeup and jewelry accessories for girls.
Yeah, instead of olive oil, it was like asbestos filled makeup.
Asbestos. I mean, what's truly insane is that if you put asbestos in makeup for adults, I'd be like, whatever. If it works, like they're adults. But it's in children's makeup. Children shouldn't even really be wearing makeup. Like your first exposure to makeup, it's supposed to be fun and stupid, and it has fucking asbestos in it. Like,
I just feel like it's pretty easy for companies to not put asbestos in their makeup. Like,
wow, that's a controversial take.
Because there's plenty of makeup that doesn't have asbestos in it, as far as I know. So, like, why not go the extra mile, or I don't know, a couple steps? Why not go around the corner and not put in the asbestos?
I agree. I'm kind of over here taking the take, which I think is wrong, that asbestos like makes makeup better, but it's bad for you. So like, obviously, it shouldn't be in there. But also, if you want good makeup, you need asbestos. But I don't think that's the truth.
I don't think that's the truth. I mean, this is what it said. It appears to be an entirely a quality control thing, like cheapness,
right,
and speed. That, yeah, they were like, we could either take the time to actually take the talc out of the makeup, or we could just kind of dump in this whole thing and hope there's no asbestos in it.
I mean,
also,
yeah,
talc is now canceled. Isn't talc canceled?
Talc has been because canceled for a while because people are putting on their balls and getting cancer.
It gives you cancer of
the balls.
That whole region. Like, women were getting cervical cancer.
Yeah, because people were powdering their genitals with talc.
Yeah.
And it
in
wasn't great.
In the genital
great.
Area.
This just reminds me of, like, when I was in college/high school and I straightened my hair, and the only thing that worked for straightening your hair was stuff with formaldehyde in it. But I was like, anything for, like, this hairdo or whatever, which ended up being bad. But, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I wasn't sure if that was the deal with talc, but it seems like no. But I think you're right. I don't think Claire's JoJo Siwa palette is like this incredible palette because it has asbestos in it. I think it's more of a lazy issue, like more of like a factory.
It's not like formaldehyde that makes your hair so silky and
right.
straight.
Right. I think it's
Ooh,
different.
My hair. I love formaldehyde. Don't they use formaldehyde in embalming fluids?
Yes, that's what. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. So I have a question for you guys. So I was reading an article in the New York Times today about this high school that's on some island in like, or it's a middle school, I don't fucking know. Some like one room schoolhouse in Nantucket, whatever, on a middle of nowhere ocean. And they have one student graduating, it's the last student ever. So they somehow got a celebrity guest to do the commencement speech. And so I'm reading this article and it turns out it's Jenny Slate. Okay, cool. Except the entire article is like, this is so cool, but the whole time they absolutely hoo her to fucking shreds. Like, oh my god, they're like the actress best known for being on 10 episodes of Parks and Recreation, which is so mean. And they go, you might also know her from the video Marcel the Shell. And then they like hoo her again. They're like, you might know like her catchphrase, money please. I'm like, oh my god, she's done other stuff than that. She's been in like big movies. And then they interview the fucking like
eighth grade girl, and she goes, I had no idea who she was. And then I saw her a picture of me and go, oh, it's that lady. This all leads me to the question of, is Jenny Slate a who or a them, and why is the New York Times bent on writing a story about her and also being mean to her? You will literally never play this. Good for Bella Thorne. Bye.
Once again, don't say you'll never play this. That is,
or maybe you should,
to get it on the show,
because we think that it goes in the show. This is interesting because part of me, when you first said the New York Times is hooing her to hell, I'm like, well, that's how the New York Times writes. Not like rude, but very
they have to explain it.
Very
they to,
basic.
They have to hold you, and they have to hold everyone's hands.
Basic 101.
The readers don't know anything.
Right. So they're like, you might know her from, but it is, if you were just blind, someone said, who's Jenny Slate? What would you say?
What would I say?
Yeah. What would be your first, oh, it's the girl who's blah, blah, blah.
That comedian who was on SNL but then got fired, and then she does little comedy character actory stuff on Comedy Central a lot. I don't know. Oh, she dated Chris Evans for a hot minute.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I would say Obvious Child is something I would say.
Oh, Obvious Child. Yeah.
In my mind, that's her biggest movie. I don't know if like quantifiably that's true, but in terms of like,
I mean, her biggest movie was Zootopia, probably. Right?
Okay. Yeah, that, okay. Probably, technically.
Just saying. She was in it kind of a lot as the voice of a sheep or whatever. So this is also funny because then I read the article and they do go out of their way, though, to who Jenny Slate to hell. Because the girl is like, I'd never heard of her.
So basically what the caller was saying, it's this small Hooey Island called Cuddy Hunk Island. It's in Nantucket. There's a
it's off grade, of Nantucket.
It's off of
and
Nantucket.
And Cape Cod, yeah.
There's this one, there's a school there, and the eighth grade class has one student in it. One student. And so she's graduating, and so they do like a thing for it because there's only one student, so they try to make it a big deal.
It's a shtick.
It's a whole thing. It's like, it's quirky like all of the things up there are. Like quirky and weird and sort of dark. So here's, read this paragraph. Before the actress signed on for the job, Gwen sent letters to Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey asking if they would deliver remarks. However, word soon came down that the speaker would be Miss Slate, who is best known for playing Mona Lisa Saperstein in 10 episodes of the NBC sitcom.
Right.
Which is like
10 to say
into 10
to say playing the name of the character, which is insane, in 10 episodes. Instead of just saying in on the TV show, they say in 10 episodes of an NBC sitcom.
It's really funny.
It is funny. It is funny. I mean, it is funny.
It's funny to compare it to be like, she wanted Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey, but who did she get? Mona Lisa Saperstein from 10 episodes of Parks and Recreation, whose catchphrase was, money, please.
That was a good character.
Why is that even in there? Why is that even in there?
Also, it's just funny to me, like, I'm sorry, but there are so many cool things going on in the world. Like, Oprah or Michelle Obama's not coming to, like, Cuddy Hunk Island to give, like, a speech to, like, one, like, middle schooler. Just, you know what I mean? That's that's not going to happen. And then they say, this is my other favorite thing. After some reflection, Mr. Astrew remembered he knew Miss Slate's father, Ron Slate, a poet, and sent him an email. But what's interesting is, like, she did this because she's from Massachusetts, like me, and her new boyfriend, who we haven't talked about yet, is this artist who runs a writer's residency on the fucking island.
So really she used it as a chance to go see her boyfriend for the weekend. Like
exactly.
A long weekend.
Or to also like to I don't know if this guy needs to promote his writer's residency, but like to basically, like, it basically made sense. It was like you going, you know, you stopping off somewhere because you two things were happening that you had to do. You
know? She was like, sure, I'll do you a favor.
Yeah.
I get to see my boyfriend. It reminds me of this. It sort of reminds me of how we got our photographer for our wedding. Tawny Lee Bannister, amazing photographer. You're looking for a wedding photographer. But she was like, we didn't have to pay her to come to the like a travel fee.
Because she already was upstate.
She was like, oh, sure. This is great. Like, I get to go upstate and see my family. And she was like, I'm not even going to charge you any travel fees because I'm going to go up and see my whole family.
That's great.
And so she like the wedding was just kind of like, whatever. She was already going to go up there. Right. Why not make a little money doing a wedding thing?
Of course.
So that's what this guy did. What is there to say about Ben Shattuck?
Well, he is an artist. He co-runs a gallery with his mom called the Dee Dee Shattuck Gallery, which I assume is her name, Dee Dee.
Which is on Cutty Hunk Island.
Exactly. I think it's on Cutty Hunk. Is it on Cutty Hunk?
What do you think the foot traffic is at the Dee Dee Shattuck Gallery on Cutty Hunk Island?
Is it on Cutty Hunk Island? I'm like unsure.
Actually, the gallery is not on Cutty Hunk Island. It's in Westport, which is like in southeastern Massachusetts. It's on like the kind of foot. It's right near the Rhode Island border.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's on the way to the Cape if you were driving from New York. So that's why I said probably not, because if you made a joke about foot traffic on Cutty Hunk Island, and like that is like the people go to Nantucket, people go to Martha's Vineyard, but like people aren't really actively going to Cutty Hunk.
So there's not much else to be said about this extremely like shady, rude story. But I was like, who wrote this? Like, what's the deal? And I figured out why it's as mean and hilarious as
oh
it
no
is.
Did they follow Who Weekly on Twitter?
No.
Oh,
so I was like, who wrote this? Derek Bryson Taylor wrote this story.
Uh-huh.
Who is a reporter for the New York Times, staff reporter for the New York Times. Where did he used to work, Lindsay, up until the end of April?
People.
Page six. So we got a page six celebrity reporter.
Wow.
The New York Times, who has brought with him his page six sensibilities, and it's hilarious.
And you know what? We stan
Derek Bryson Taylor. It is hilarious to see page six sensibilities like drawn out, because this story on page six would have been three paragraphs long.
Oh yeah.
Short paragraphs.
Oh yeah.
And it would have been
like headline openly mean. Eighth grader graduating doesn't know who commencement speaker is, or something very.
And it would have been like, she asked for Oprah Winfrey and Obama, but who did she get? One half of publicity or something like that, you know? But instead, it's this, and it's incredibly good. Okay, next call. Jenny Slate, but wait, Jenny Slate, who them? Who?
She's a who.
Are you kidding? This is how the New York Times described her. How was that a question? Imagine reading that story and being like, is she a who or a them?
They could have saved 1,000 paragraphs if she was a them. That's the difference. But because they had to drag it out, you know, notice Michelle Obama didn't need explanation. Oprah didn't need explanation.
Hi, Who Weekly. I literally just went into a conference room at work to make this call because I was looking up Clay Aiken, because he is in a touring production of Grease that came to my city. And I was looking him up and learned that the woman who like fostered his baby or like made it, whatever, is David Foster's sister. So does that mean Catherine McPhee is the aunt, or Clay Aiken's kid is her nephew? Please investigate. Thank you.
I mean, once they're married, they're not married yet, but once Catherine McPhee and David Foster are married, yes, Catherine McPhee is going to be the aunt of Clay Aiken's child.
All I have to say is don't tell her that, because she'll be, you know, she'll be like, me, aunt, like, bae. Like, she'll make a meme. Like, she's like, what's an aunt meme or something? She'll do something.
Oh, no. You know what she's going to do? She's going to create a new word for it. She's going to call herself a surrogant.
Like a surrogant.
She's going to call herself a surrogant.
Yes, honey, I'm the surrogant. Like, hey, my gay boys, I'm the surrogant.
Hi, my gay nephews, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm your surrogant.
That's funny. That's an amazing Catherine McPhee, who came in like 14th on American Idol, whatever.
It's funny enough that David Foster is the uncle. Surrogunkle.
What's so just funny is like, Catherine McPhee marrying David Foster makes her so many things, because he's involved in every web. Like, he's involved in so many celebrity webs that, like, Catherine McPhee marrying into this mess is insane. She becomes so many weird things that she can write about on Twitter.
Yeah, she pops up on every industry's radar now.
It's wild how David Foster has just dipped his finger, let's say, quote unquote, into so many situations. Also, Clay Aiken's in the touring show of Grease. Like, what? Who is he playing? The teacher? The principal?
Is he playing
Danny?
Mr. Grease? What's his name? Danny?
Who is he playing? Like, the guy who wrote Grease? The car? And Clay Aiken as Grease Lightning.
Get in, y'all.
I'm sorry, we're just saying that Clay Aiken can't play a teenager. That's not what's all we're saying.
Also, Grease Grease as a musical is built on the idea that no one can play teenagers but 40-year-olds. You know?
Okay, like, so maybe he is playing a 40-year-old.
I think he's Danny.
He's not Danny.
Clay Aiken is Danny in the touring production of Grease.
Did you look this up?
I'm going to find this out. I'm going to find this out because so many things can be answered with a quick little Google. He's currently performing in, oh my God, do you know who he is?
Oh no, he plays Teen Angel.
He plays Frenchie.
No, he doesn't.
It looks like he is playing a gender swapped version of Frenchie.
Okay, I stan it.
He performed Beauty School Dropout. That's fun.
Oh, he's Teen Angel. No, he's not Frenchie. He's Teen Angel. I was correct. You know, in the movie, he's not Frenchie. He's Teen Angel, which is a male.
Honestly, I don't remember Grease, and I really, really hate Grease. So I do like have a vivid memory of being a kid and watching Grease because like I had heard it was good. And I was like, oh, this is like a culturally relevant thing, and being like 10 and turning on Grease and being like, excuse me.
Wait, as Teen Angel in the Pittsburgh CLO production of Grease, Clay Aiken is only on stage for 5 minutes, but those 5 minutes are fabulous. He literally plays a character that has one scene that is 5 minutes long also. Like, that's a wild misuse of Clay Aiken, I have to say. And I wouldn't say that for much.
Or a perfect use of Clay Aiken, depending on who you ask.
Fly him in. Okay, what were you saying about Clay Aiken?
He goes in, he does his thing, he gets the crowd hyped up, and then he leaves.
Also, now I'm like, they should let him play Frenchie. That's a great idea.
It's a really good idea. Frenchie. Frenchie's not a gendered name.
But also, too old and the wrong gender is really a double whammy against the character.
But also, wasn't Frenchie always a little older?
Okay, but not like 50.
Clay Aiken's not 50.
They should do a remake of Grease, but it is actually old folks' home, or like they're older, with the joke being like that the original had old people in it.
No, they should just remake Grease starring the exact same cast as the same characters.
No, okay,
in Grease.
We don't need that.
You know what? That's the new trend.
One of them died. Didn't one of them die?
What?
One of them died.
Okay, well, recast the ones who were dead. What should be done is that the new remake trend, because you know it's like Disney's doing live action remakes of animated, people are doing live musicals on national television. What should be done is you take an existing property that was popular maybe 25 years ago, or like rebooting as a whole.
Yes,
thing.
And just what if the same cast.
Reboot with the same cast,
yeah.
But then don't move it forward. So you've got like the 90210 cast rebooting, but it's like them as adults. No. Reboot it, but they're high school kids again.
Well, that's why I think the 902 reboot is going to be bad, because I just wanted them to like have it be fully insane where they don't acknowledge that they're old.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I know.
It would be so
funny.
Also,
imagine all the good inside jokes that you could make, or like wink winks, because like John Travolta's bald and proud now or whatever. So like all about his hair in the movie, like it could be like a joke that he's actually bald now.
Moving on. Clay Aiken is Teen Angel in Grease, in Pittsburgh. I also love that Hamilton is everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. No, Hamilton is a cottage industry.
Hamilton's
They're
in Texas.
Doing Hamilton.
Hamilton's in Nashville.
Yeah, oh, it's true.
Hamilton's in LA.
Yeah.
Hamilton is everywhere.
Are you kidding? It was made to be everywhere. It's like a middle schooler's wet dream, like rapping about presidents.
The only place Hamilton isn't is Cuddy Hunk. Like, and Hamilton is literally everywhere else.
Can you imagine that one girl in Cuddy Hunk Middle School playing every role in Hamilton? And Jenny Slate is the only one who came to the show. And she's like, yes, that was incredible. Honestly, it would be incredible.
The New York Times is like, meet the one person who came to see Hamilton and Cuddy Hunk.
Honestly, it would be like Catherine McPhee, because she didn't get to go to Hamilton before, because it's like
she was too busy doing Waitress.
No, she was
also,
too
busy. Also, isn't it funny that Colleen Ballinger is in Waitress now?
That's hilarious.
You see, she's not even Waitress. She's the other Waitress.
No, she's,
like Waitress
she's not
two.
Waitress.
She's not Waitress. She's Dawn, the other Waitress. I mean, they're all Waitresses.
She didn't even get the lead?
But she's not the titular Waitress.
Wait, that's so fucked up. They didn't even give her
the
lead.
She's the titular Waitress's friend. She's the Adrian Shelley character.
They're like, we'll let you do this for a pure shtick.
Speaking of dead people, God, that's so sad.
Okay.
Adrian Shelley's death is a nightmare.
Stop.
But yeah. Who is the current Waitress?
I don't know. But I thought it was Miranda Sings. If Miranda Sings was the Waitress in Waitress, I would go see Waitress.
It's Shoshana Bean.
Oh,
she's
she was
Waitress.
She was in Wicked. She was like Wicked second gen.
Is she Sean Bean's no. relative?
No, she's my friend Emma Bean's cousin. I knew Emma.
Is she related to LL? Is she related to Ladies Leon, Love Bean?
Leon Wood. I hope not.
Is she related to?
No, I don't think Ladies so. Because no, she's not. Because my friend Emma Bean from college was not related to LL Bean, and she's related to my friend Emma Bean from college. Oh my God.
Speaking of seeing worse places,
what?
I can see the worst places we've been to in this episode once I put in my simple contacts. Just kidding. I don't wear simple contacts, but you wear contacts.
I do sometimes wear contacts. Yeah, I love it.
That's what's great about simple contacts is because you can just like buy some from simple contacts very easily and then wear them when you want to, wear them when you don't, wear them every day if you want to, wear them every other day if you want to, wear them only when you want to wear new sunglasses that you got for cheap because prescription sunglasses are expensive, can be expensive, and it's easier just to buy like cheapo sunglasses with contacts.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like I wouldn't be wearing contacts unless it was simple to get them. And at this point, with simple contacts, it really is.
And you can start using simple contacts by taking the vision test, which is a self-guided and it takes under 5 minutes, which is great. You can think about how much time you save not having to go to the doctor, not having to make an appointment.
So much time. So much time.
It's also designed by ophthalmologists and licensed doctors review every test so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. You should always go take care of your eyes. This is just for getting a contact prescription. Come on, take care of your eyes. The reviews speak for themselves. Simple Contacts has been rating 5 stars over 5,000 times on the App Store. You can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person. No automated robot systems here, which I love. And they have all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around and find your lenses at the best price. The vision test is only $20. Compare that with an appointment with or without insurance, which could cost up to $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, hooligans get a special offer.
So get $20 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/who20 or enter the code who20 at checkout. That's $20 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/who20 or enter the code who20 at checkout.
You guys, who is that woman that reached over Beyonce to talk to Jay-Z? Who?
This is so stupid. This is a I hate this. I fucking hate this. And honestly, like, I love Beyonce just as much as the next person. But this shit really, and I don't blame her for, like, if I were her, I'd be so mad. She can't go anywhere or do anything without this shit happening to her. And this is not beyond Beyonce, like, oh, this Nicole. Poor woman. I'm just, yeah. No. It, like, I feel bad for Nicole because clearly she didn't do anything. But Beyonce, like, can't even, like, look at anything without everyone being like, Beyonce, like, she did it. You know, like, this, literally people went on after this woman on Beyonce's behalf, which is insane.
That's what fan armies always do for any huge star.
It makes me dislike Beyonce, which is not. I know fair. It's irrational, it's not fair, but it's like really frustrating when Beyonce's fans are so intense and go after somebody who like didn't do anything at all, basically.
Didn't do anything.
And it's not and it's fun to be like, oh, here's a meme of Beyonce making like a rude face when this woman like leans over her, but it's like, that's not fun to do. You ruin that when the minute I see something like that, I'm like, oh no, this woman's life is over. Like, that ruins the internet. And this really fucking ruins everything. Like, it just really depresses me to watch this shit.
It sucks. And Beyonce is so famous and influential at this point, like, globally.
Yeah.
That almost it seems like the only way to prevent anything like this from happening is that, like, Beyonce, I'm sorry, Beyonce, you can't ever go out in public again.
Yeah, sorry. Like, this you can't go happens. Out. Yeah.
Anyone who looks at you in public is ruined. Is ruined.
That's true. And this is literally...
Anyone you look at in public is ruined.
And this woman's existence, what her story is, could not make any more sense. It's like she's literally the wife of the guy that owns the team that they were there to see courtside.
Those four seats are the most powerful seats in the stadium. It's like the owner plus Beyonce, Jay-Z.
And when I tell you what she says that she was asking him, you're going to feel terrible for like this entire situation. She literally, he said he wanted a vodka soda. She leaned over to ask if he wanted lime, but it was loud. So she couldn't hear his response. So she leaned over.
Because it was a stadium. It's loud.
This pisses me off.
She just wanted to ask. She was being nice. And then people were mean to her.
Yeah.
And then also it becomes this thing. I mean, the whole thing also falls into sexist territory because it's like, would this have happened if this were, no. you know,
No.
Someone leaning over Drake. No. It's like, it's because it's a woman leaning over a woman. And so we assume that Beyonce hates this woman. But really, Beyonce does not care. Beyonce doesn't even notice.
It's also, this goes back to an album which Beyonce wrote about Jay-Z having an infidelity issue and Beyonce getting mad. And so really, it's his fault. But now it's reflected on Beyonce that every woman that Beyonce is around or with gets this treatment. Mm-hmm. Nicole, whatever her name is, doesn't deserve this treatment.
Yeah, and Beyonce's too famous, truly, to really respond to this. Like, she could easily be like, look, stop being rude to this woman, which I kind of do wish Beyonce would do that.
But she doesn't respond to anything as a general rule.
And I sort of think that she owes it to people to do that, to the fan armies that she inadvertently sort of organizes and activates. She should be like, hey, this isn't cool. Because the only person they're going to listen to is Beyonce.
But part of me feels like, well, she's always done it this way, where she doesn't comment on anything. And selfishly,
well,
to protect...
always.
But selfishly, to protect herself, it's a good idea to do it that way. But you're right.
It's
I mean,
not even always. Like, did you notice that the clip that went viral this week, the old interview of her talking about how she used to have a pet python until her dad was like, get this out of the house.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I would sleep with it.
Yeah,
and
but
it's
that's
like,
now.
Beyonce was so much more open and like up until like the Four period. She completely rebranded herself before Beyonce.
Yeah, well,
because
that's
she
what
was like,
you have
the
to
only
do.
Way that I can the only way that I can continue being successful is to cut everyone off and make myself intriguing by saying nothing. And it's like, I understand that as a brand play, but like, you're being so rude to this one by not explaining it.
I think she started off as turning it into an intriguing thing, but I think it became a protection thing because then she became so famous that she needed that this is like part of her like safety, basically.
I agree with that too, but she could easily release like one statement on her Instagram, like with the photo of like those weirdo photos that she posts every once in a while that are like 700 photos of her in the same outfit. Like, release a statement that's like in her like weirdo handwriting that's like, everyone be nice to Nicole Kerr, and like, she just asked, you know, Jay for a drink, and then
Beyonce
like
would never do that
address.
Whatever
I know, but I think she should.
The whole thing is, I guess what's interesting, quote unquote, about this is that just Beyonce is the level of famous that makes me like feel like cringy. Like it's uncomfortable.
It's insane. It's no one's as famous as she is, basically.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable because this is what happens is like Beyonce goes out once and this is what like she can't do any. She literally can't do anything.
I don't know if this is common knowledge, but the nun that Katy Perry, quote unquote, killed, her nun friends, her sisters, are saying that her last words were, Katy Perry, please stop. Anyway, never really over, crunch lunch.
The nuns are milking.
The nuns have, I mean, I understand, this is a sensitive topic because one of them is literally dead, but the nuns, all of them, milk this Katy, and not, we are, I guess we're team Katy, I don't know. The nuns have been milking this. They are so dramatic. Did you see they made an hour-long documentary testimonial about the situation?
Yeah, did you watch it?
I'm halfway through.
I'm only halfway through too, but listen to these two, my two favorite clips that I took so far. Here's this one.
These drama-filled nuns.
Listen.
I think, and it is my opinion, he wanted our property. Money, 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 money.
This is the other clip that like I started crying. Here we go. This is not the dead nun. This is Sister Rita. She's great. I mean, she's also a terror in a way.
Yeah, truly.
He did not tell the sisters to whom he was selling. It was a neighbor that told me who was going to buy it, that it was going to be Katy Perry. And of course, they were not happy about Katy Perry.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, these women have lived their whole lives like a chaste, drama-free experience, and finally drama creeps up. And as somebody who loves drama.
There's nothing drama-free about the Catholic Church. As a former Catholic, it's all drama all the time. And if there's no drama, you make up some drama. That's all of it. Are you kidding? The Pope loves drama. Everyone loves drama. It's all, some of it's like fluffy drama, and some of it's dark as hell drama. And this has all of it. Did you watch the part in the video where the first version of this video, it had too many court documents and the Archdiocese had them blur them out? So the video that's currently on YouTube has all these weird moments that are blurred, but it's because they had court documents that they shouldn't have been showing.
An hour long documentary.
It's an hour long of nuns being like, here's why Katy Perry sucks.
Did Katy Perry kill a nun? Yes. Are these nuns super dramatic? Yes. Two things can be true. So wait, do we even know, like, where are we in this? Do the nuns, Katy Perry owns it now.
I mean, she bought it, but like, they're still fighting over it. She owns it technically, but like, who really knows? The point is, this was the whole fucking thing was, remember, they claim that they own it because of this contract that was allegedly signed in 1992. I mean, in the contract, they owned it until they were dead. Did you get that part in the video? The contract said like, they could live there until they died. And then one of them is already dead. So there's a couple of them are dead. So now there's only like two left. They wanted to sell it to this woman who wanted to turn it into a hotel. Remember?
Right.
And she has this history of like turning properties into like boutique hotels in the Los Angeles.
But why did they want to sell it to her and not Katy Perry?
Because they felt like she would treat it better.
Okay.
Mainly they wanted to sell it to her because they just claimed that they own it and they could do whatever they want with it. It's not really a matter of why they want to sell it to her over Katy Perry. Number one, they would never sell it to Katy Perry because she's a pop star. But they're just mad that the Archdiocese did this behind their backs when they claim the Archdiocese had no point. So it's also very men against women and they hate the Archdiocese. Did you see the part in the video where it's like the priests, the men, there's this weird thing where it's like them explaining like, well, they just wanted the money. Money, 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 money. And then it just cuts to a screenshot of a LA Times story about, or Washington Post story about the LA Archdiocese being sued for $600 million for sexual assault. So it's like, there is an implication in the video that the only reason the Archdiocese wants to sell the mansion is to get money to pay for their legal fees over their sexual assault. It's like, it's not
that is so said. Dramatic.
Right. It's not even explicitly said. They just show the headline and it's like, excuse you? What are you trying to say? Also, if you want to say something, say it. If you know something about this, you have to fucking tell it. Like, it's so intense.
Dramatic.
And the reason drama. It's so dramatic now, suddenly, is because this nun died recently. One of the nuns who was fighting.
Yeah, and her last words were like, Katy Perry, you suck.
Katy Perry.
Please stop.
The caller says, please stop. Katy Perry, please stop. Do I believe that?
Yes! Sure. These nuns are drama.
But it's like, I believe that the nuns are drama enough to A, either say that, or B, make up that she said that to start more drama.
Right, the nuns are like, she's like dead. We can just say that she said, Katy Perry, please stop.
Like, I feel like it's 50-50, you know?
These nuns, though, know how to create drama. I'm almost, like, blown away at their ingenuity here.
They're incredibly good at creating drama, but it's also like, just let Katy Perry live in the house. I don't know. Take the money and run.
I feel like if I was Katy Perry, I would just be like, I don't give a shit anymore. It's not worth these nuns like cursing me to a damned life. You know?
You know, Katy, nothing's ever really over with her.
This court case is never really over. You mean it's really over? And if it's really over, then... Like, what if she moves into this house and everyone who comes there is like, oh, is this... Everyone who comes to Katy Perry's house is like, oh, is this the place where... yeah. Like, first of all, it's going to be haunted by nuns. I feel like we've already talked about this. It's going to be haunted by the ghosts of dead nuns. You don't need that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And second of all,
those nuns are not going anywhere.
And anyone who comes to visit, like, let's say Bobby and I ever get invited to Katy Perry's house, which we will at this rate, will be like, oh, Katy, is this where,
Katy, is this where Sister Rita died? Sister Rita, who is like the number one drama queen in this whole organization.
If I saw Katy Perry, I'd be like, those nuns are fucking drama queens.
I would love every second of it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I would love to talk to the ghost of a drama queen nun. I was up all night. The ghost of Sister Rita showed up and started complaining about you, Katy. And she's like, oh, she does that in that room. Like, that's her room. That's where she is. And it's like, thank you for putting me here because we had a really long chat. She was drama, but it was interesting. Like, I don't know if I believed her, but I was compelled. Because right now, I'm sort of team no one, leaning on the side of Team Katy Perry, just because these nuns
are so dramatic.
Just because I find it hard, just not to go too far, just like because I find it hard to support the Catholic Church in anything they do. Mm-hmm. But the even if they're friendly nuns,
mm-hmm. Friendly.
But the thing that's really funny about this is I would almost be more willing to support them if this was always a convent, but this was originally a private residence. This was originally a mansion for a rich Hollywood person, you know?
Then like, it was turned into a convent. Now it's going to be Katy Perry's fucking ghost-filled manor.
It's not sacred ground almost, you know? Like, that's not the greatest reason to support Katy Perry on this, but yeah. Like, if this were originally a church, if this were originally this one thing, I would almost understand it. But this was always a house. It was always just a private house for a rich person. So originally, I think it's easy to assume this was always a convent, but it wasn't.
Yes.
It turned into a convent in the 60s, I believe, or the 70s.
So what you're saying is your team Katy Perry, fuck the nuns.
If I lived for drama, there's no better drama than this. So I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also really want Katy Perry to move in so that I can get an Architectural Digest tour of this house, because you know she's going to turn into something completely insane.
She's never going to publicize, because then they'd have to talk about the nuns. That's what.
Yeah, she will. Katy Perry's nuts. Katy Perry is also extremely rude and petty. Of course,
yeah, these nuns and Katy are a match made in heaven, except only one of them is in heaven.
Katy Perry is literally going to get like relics of these nuns and put them in the house and incorporate them into the design and be like, yeah, this is like a sliver of a pelvic bone of Sister Rita.
This is you are going of off. You're going out of.
I'm telling you, Katy Perry is going all in. Katy Perry's going all in, and she's not going to give up. And guess what? She's going to win. She's going to win.
Are you done? Like, are you done?
I'm done. We've been recording for so long. I'm like losing my mind. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly, Who's There. It was so much fun to talk about nuns and, you know, all sorts of things that we talked about today. I don't want to be explicit because who knows, I might cut stuff. As always, call in 619-WHO-THEM and leave messages, and we might talk about them on future episodes. Support us on patreon.com/WHOWEEKLY. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook @WHOWEEKLY. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love reading your reviews, and we will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Oh, also, see you Boston and DC. It's going to be a great couple of shows. We're going to be in Lindsay's home turf. We're going to drink nothing but Dunkin' all weekend.
Hell fucking yeah. Bye.
Bye. Hope we get some munchkins as well. Ooh, we'll bring some munchkins on stage. Bye.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, first time. This is Whitney, your local pediatrician correspondent. I am just calling in regards to your Marsha Cross anal cancer story. And very good job presenting all the facts. I was impressed with that. I just wanted to make a public service announcement about the HPV virus that causes anal cancer and throat cancer and cervical cancer. We have a vaccine for that. It is called Gardasil 9, and it is now approved for adults up to age 45. It used to only be approved for people age 27, but now it's approved to age 45. So you should talk to your doctor and see if this vaccine is right for you, because it can help prevent the virus that causes all those lovely cancers, such as anal cancer and cervical cancer and throat cancer. So public service announcement. Talk to your doctor, see if it's right for you, save a life, and, you know, have fun eating ass. Anyway, ScarJo, yummy pop, crunch, crunch, good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.